It's Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. It has been a big couple of years for gravity and for the people who study it.
We speak with astronomy contributor Jean Creighton about space near, far, and in between every month. And she's with us in the studio now to talk about the latest big announcement surrounding gravitational waves.
Perhaps you recall that a year ago there was a big announcement about the discovery of gravitational waves. And of course, there was a Nobel Prize for Physics earlier this month to the three people who are considered the key people to get that discovery going. So the first gravitational wave and the subsequent three or four were two black holes merging into one. And that is such a powerful event that it basically makes space-time produce ripples. The news is that the also predicted event is two neutron stars coalescing. So this had been predicted for a long time. I mean, we've known about neutron stars directly, but here the exciting news is that we saw two neutron stars. Now, it takes longer for neutron stars to coalesce, so we had 2 minutes of that in spiral. That's enough time to say to every observatory on the planet, you've got to look here too. Now, gravitational waves are hard to place in the sky, so typically you're looking at 1,000 degrees. You might as well tell, oh yeah, look for this gold coin in the state of Wisconsin. You're not going to be able to find it with that information. But this time, because there were three detectors online, not just two, and one of them could not detect this event, which was really, really strong, it meant it had to be in its blind spot. Well, the blind spots are fairly small compared to all the sky that they can see. So among the three observatories, they were able to say it has to come from this spot right here. So they got it down to 30 degrees, which is still 30 square degrees is still a lot of sky for most observatories. That's not good enough. But they were able to say, well, within that space, where are their likely candidates? So they were able to identify the 20 or so galaxies, one of which turned out to be the host of this spectacular event.
Oh, very cool.
And we said, so there were 70 telescopes that were able to observe in all continents, including Antarctica, across all light waves. So from gamma rays all the way to radio, everybody saw it.
Is that the first time that this has happened?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, where we all were able to say, holy cow, let's all look here and let's get it in whatever kind of medium that we're gathering information.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Which means that, first of all, that is a political coup because, you know, most observatories have protocols to get people to observe within a week. Everybody to observe within a week is a significant task in and of itself. But it also means that you can supplement the story, not only the gravitational wave story, which is marvelous in its own right, right? Because now we know more about the physics between the spiraling of neutron stars, but also of individual neutron stars. But it supplements the story about nucleosynthesis, so how elements are made, thanks to all these other wavelengths. So, for example, one of the things that we were contemplating is that the elements that we know, like gold, plutonium, doesn't look like they're able to form in a supernova. So supernovas are pressure cookers, so they force elements, lighter elements, into heavier elements, and that works out perfectly well until iron. After that, we thought that the abundances that we see aren't consistent with the models of supernova. You know, those are the explosions really massive stars. So people had been speculating, well, maybe the collision of neutron stars, a pressure cooker on steroids of some sort, might be responsible for making, say, gold. And it turns out that we looked at the spectra from the light, and the decay of heavier elements shows us consistency with that model. We think that one of these mergers can make about the mass of Saturn worth of gold. So the gold that you have on that chain came, most likely, from two neutron stars merging, who knows, maybe a few tens or a few hundred million years ago.
So I'm wearing part of the universe.
You are certainly wearing. In fact, I was at a conference last week, and one of the people said that if you really want to know more about the inner workings of a star, all you need to do is look at yourself, because that iron, those heavier elements in your body, came from a star. So you're not only wearing it, but you embody.
We are literally stardust.
We really are.
Yeah.
Yes.
How far away were these two neutron stars?
They were 130 million light years away.
So if we had the space travel capability to go there, how long would it take us to get there?
Well, it takes light 130 million years ago. Since we're nowhere close to being able to travel that fast, 10 times at least, if not 100 times longer.
So very far away.
Yes. Far, but the original signal that we got from gravitational waves was from two black holes colliding 10 times farther. So a little over a billion light years away.
So now that they've done it, what's happening next for them?
You mean the
stars?
The stars. Well, so it's not yet certain whether they merge to make a neutron star or a black hole. That is something that I suspect we won't have sufficient evidence to conclude for the next little bit. It could be that we have to wait for multiple of these, and then we'll gather statistically interesting enough information that we would say, it's probably a black hole, it's probably a neutron star. But to watch this unfold, because gamma rays, I don't think I mentioned specifically gamma rays, but this is important. We get gamma ray bursts often, several times, many times a year. And we separate gamma ray bursts in kind of two groups, what we call the long gamma ray bursts. So the burst lasts for more than 2 seconds, and then the ones that are short, which last less than 2 seconds. Just around the gravitational wave time, a gamma ray burst went off. And because it happened so often, nobody really paid much attention. But a scientist who was on both teams, both the LIGO and the gamma ray burst, knew there was a trigger for a gravitational wave. So he got on the phone and said, "Wow, this gravitational wave might be connected to the gamma ray burst," which shows you what happens when a very, very powerful event happens, right? Gamma rays are the type of light that is the most powerful in the universe. So the fact that the two happened together in the same galaxy told us that, well, we had suspected for some time that these short gamma ray bursts come from two compact objects colliding, was confirmed.
So this event has, it seems like, it's furthered our knowledge in one great leap.
Yes, yes. So this has been one of these exciting, awesome events that truly, as you said, kind of takes us to another plane. And hopefully it's going to be one of many such events where we have multiple instruments seeing and helping us understand multiple things. But quite frankly, I think it's going to be months before all the papers are really understood, you know, all the ramifications of this observation is really kind of come to the forefront.
Right. I was going to say there's a lot of data to analyze.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so is the team here, the LIGO team here at UWM, participating in that analysis?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes, of course. In fact, not only the LIGO part, but also the light part, because we have astronomers, astrophysicists, as well as relativists. So the two groups have kind of combined to put that information together, of course, along with many thousands, literally thousands of people. So the paper that came out last week would have been co-authored by 3,500 people.
It's so nice to see people working together that way. It's one of the great things about science.
Yes, from all over the world. It's one of those things where you think, this is so exciting. I have to figure out how to celebrate it, because it's easy when you get caught up in the busyness of life to not have time to celebrate the great things that are happening. So one has to make a point, too.
Well, we shall.
Yes.
We shall.
Yes.
Well, Jean, thank you so much, and we'll talk next month.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Jean Creighton is director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee and our regular astronomy contributor. You can find her past conversations with us at WUWM.com. Whoa, whoa. Gravity is working against me.